Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the country and around the world. We just finished Doc Talk Podcast, hosted by Dr. Gregory Roscoe out there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Great show, talking about infections, head and neck. And now we go into the Sports Talk Saturdays. Bruce Kessinger out there in Oakland. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. And Scott Morgenroth in the stadium in Miami, Florida, as that public address announcer is blaring. So we'll bring him in momentarily to, you know, go through that so we don't mess up the lines here. 347-205-9631. You can catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So as I lay the floor down, give the podium in its place, and hand out that mic, first of all, Bruce, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? And then we'll see how Scott's doing.
Okay, well, right now I'm swimming in the sea of NFL thoughts. I could be reached at holyroller91978@gmail.com, or you could get me on Facebook.
Scott, as we go to you, how can people get a hold of you? And I know you're in a hurricane stadium out there watching the Hurricanes play again.
Yeah, I can be reached at www.southfloridatribune.com, subscribe to my YouTube channel. YouTube.com, hit South Florida Tribune, or on Twitter at Tribune South. Yes, I'm in a press box today covering the Miami Hurricanes and the Southern Mississippi Eagles.
Okay, as I give it over to you two, and I'll man the board and come back in 30 minutes, take it away, Bruce.
Okay, and I thank all our listeners for being here, and where do you want to kick it off, Scott? We want to go NFL, the game you're witnessing, or say you got Southern Mississippi. What about this Brett Favre scandal thing here?
I'm not paying attention to it. Don't even care, to be honest with you. It's a separate related issue. I'm covering a football game. Last Saturday, Miami defeated the Cookman 78-13 is what they did. So I don't expect the point spread to be quite as high as it was last week when there wasn't one over 50, but about 26 points is what you're really basically looking at for this particular contest against the Hurricanes. We're really looking for another win right now to go 2-0. I'm trying to go to a different part of the press box so we don't pick up the PA announcer, but that's just part of what I have to do today. But, you know, it'll be interesting. Tyler Van Dyke will be the story, obviously. He's a guy that many people view as a potential Heisman Trophy candidate down the road. So we'll have to see how this whole dynamic really, really plays out. You know what I mean? So, you know, this is what we're looking at. And the way I look at it now, it's college football at its best. We're starting to get into some heavy-duty situations. So it'll be pretty interesting to watch. I'm
indeed.
The press box.
Ball's field and in the end zone for a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm noticing.
It'll be first and 10, Hurricane.
I'm noticing here that Texas has been like 20-point underdogs to Alabama. I've never seen Texas that, how should we say, that deep in an underdog situation. I haven't seen it much in Texas. What do you
number
know?
Number nine, Tyler Van Dyke.
Well, that doesn't surprise me one bit. It really doesn't. Think about it. Texas is in a down period. They change coaches. And, you know, Steve Sarkisian took on a tough job is what he did. He's going in for Buzzsaw and Nick Saban. So I think you kind of expect that kind of thing right now. Maybe 2-3 years when Texas joins the SEC, they'll be a lot more competitive. But they're those younger brother, basically, to Texas A&M in that particular state. So that doesn't surprise me whatsoever.
Number 21.
That doesn't.
Yeah.
On the stop is number 94.
What other college games are you thinking are matchups do you like today?
The 29-yard line.
Well, you may think I'm crazy when I tell you this. I'm anxious to see if Michigan covers against Hawaii by 52 points.
So am I. I've got that.
52
number
points.
21,
all I know is that Hawaii better be collecting a big enough check to go back to southeastern Michigan to get their tail kicked because they had about 9,000 people. In their stadium, they're going to have 109,000 sitting in Michigan. I don't think they have that much in the state, do they?
balls in the 34-yard line.
Third down and one.
Hurricane.
So, you know.
Okay.
Trying to think of some other ones offhand, but those are the two right now that stand out. You know, you have to think Florida, Kentucky is another matchup here in our neck of the woods. But, you know, I guess when you're in the position I am and you're so focused on the game that you're covering, that the other stuff is, to me, kind of, you know, in the, on the back burner.
Indeed. I've got to mention that. Let's move it over to the NL wild card, because we got a listener who, Rick from Delaware County, says the Phillies are looking good. He thinks they might represent the National League. I don't. They lost to the Marlins yesterday on a two-base error. I think they're going to trip up. I mean, they did the right move in the Girardi Thompson switch. But I just don't see them representing, or I mean, maybe they get the tail end of the wild card, but I don't see them advancing.
And that was 2 days ago. I think the Marlins beat the Mets yesterday. I'm surprised that the Mets have really fallen off as bad as they have. I really am. And, you know, I don't know. It's hard to tell in the National League. Everybody seems to be leaning on the Dodgers and the Braves right now. It's pretty hard to go against either of those two. Phillies, I don't know yet. I still need a little bit more time to really look that one through. Not sure.
Yeah, yeah. If you watched that game on Thursday, I thought the Bills looked very imperious, and they did something they couldn't do last year, was stop the run. And I don't know about the Rams' chances. I thought that was a very poorly played game on their part.
Well, the Rams are just not prepared. They rested everybody during the preseason. They weren't in sync. Matthew Stafford could sue for lack of support, for God's sake, for the team in 7 sacks, the 3 interceptions. I think two of them were tipped. So I don't judge a quarterback based on tipped passes. I'm sorry. I just don't do it. And I'm not going to do that. But the Buffalo Bills look awfully good. Von Miller.
At quarterback number 12.
As though he's an impact player there. He really is. And Josh Allen, what do you expect? You got Stephon Diggs, Devin Singletary. Buffalo has the mindset of the bad boys. They're a really hungry team is what they really, really are. And when you're a hungry team like they are, those are the types of teams that you become fearful of, and it could very well finally get over the hump. So I like Buffalo. Again, one of those things that we'll have to just see how it all plays out. You know, to me, it really is.
On the tackle, number 11.
I don't know. We just have 10 days to think about it and try to get it back in here. And they'll take on Atlanta this week. Buffalo won't matter who gets in their way. I think they're a team on a mission, and it's pretty hard to go against that.
Indeed. As we're heading down the schedule, I'm looking at, there's – I've got operations like Carolina and Cleveland, which went down to a pick. I have Carolina taking that game. I think Baker Mayfield is better than Jacoby Brissett, and it's going to be at home. I think he's got the chip on the shoulder. What do you think about that one?
I think Cleveland's going to get their tail kicked. I think Baker Mayfield's a very mad man. He really is. So, you know, number one, you have to understand, Matt Rhule is playing for his job, coaching for his job. And Baker Mayfield playing for a contract to stay with him. So there's a lot on the line from a lot of different people. There really, really is. And, you know, I don't think there's any doubt. It's tough enough to beat Carolina with Mayfield, with Deshaun Watson, let alone Jacoby Brissett. So I think that, you know, I love the fact that you have a couple of games there where teams are on a mission is what they really, really are. And when they're on a mission, a lot of things can happen. They really can. Emotion does play a big role in sports is what it really does. And I think that's what you're looking at here. He'll be fired up. Now, again, you have to be conscious of Miles Garrett going after him and Cleveland's defense, Clowney as well. But those things that you just kind of trade off a little bit. You know, I got to tell you an interesting thing here with the Miami Southern Miss game. Frank Gore Jr. plays for Southern Mississippi, and his dad played for the University of Miami. So that's a really interesting Miami connection here locally.
And speaking of Miami, what do you think your chances are against New England Patriots?
I like them. Well, the offensive coordinator situation is like a who's on first, what's on second. And I've been on a bunch of shows this week that have asked me the same question that you have. And I'll say this right now, and this is what I believe, that I don't understand the Matt Patricia, Joe Judge situation. I really don't understand it at all. You should have a bona fide offensive coordinator, and Bill Belichick, I think, will be calling the plays. And if you're looking to impede the development of your quarterback with Mac Jones, that to me is one way of doing it. So, you know, it's just one of those kind of things that you just can't do it, okay? And I think that's where you're headed. What can I tell you? I don't like it. I don't know how else to tell you that, Bruce. I mean, an offensive coordinator builds a relationship with his quarterback and then it translates to his quarterback coach. And I don't see the New England Patriots going ahead and showing that kind of example. And, you know, another thing you have to look at, too, is this is a make-or-break year for Tua Tagovailoa. Either he's going to prove that he was worth picking ahead of Justin Herbert, and if he doesn't prove that he's ahead of Justin Herbert, what do you think is going to happen? That's going to look like a bad pick for the Dolphins. You got Tyreek Hill, Mike Gesicki, solid running game. What's your excuse? You can't have a quarterback, okay? That, to me, turns out to be a 5 to 7 yard thrower and hope for yards after the catch. Bruce, it doesn't work. It never have, and it never will. It just doesn't work that way. But I think the Dolphins will win 21-17. I think New England's been practicing down here up in Palm Beach County because they're trying to deal with their heat issues, and you're going to get a lot of those at the stadium, Hard Rock, Robbins Stadium, that I'm at. And believe me, you really will get them. So it's just one of those kinds of things where, the Miami Dolphins, I think, have won three straight games against New England, so tomorrow very well could be four.
Indeed. I'm kind of liking your Detroit Lions with the Phillies, not Phillies, Philadelphia Eagles there at home. The curiosity for me, of course, with Philadelphia is Jalen Hurts. I'm not quite sold on him. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what your defense does with your number one pick there, Aiden Hutchinson. I like DeAndre Swift. And I love the tight end Hawkinson. The question is whether Jared Goff can improve. He was a number one pick at one point.
Well, last year he didn't have any playmakers, Bruce. Next time, if you were on the Lions team last year, you could have done just as good as some of the receivers that they had. You think I'm being sarcastic? Look at the numbers. I don't have to be sarcastic. DeAndre Swift's a big problem. He can't play all the games. So as a result, to me, you got to keep him on the field. Aiden Hutchinson, they are looking forward to seeing how he's going to do, a good defensive player. DJ Chark is an upgrade. They've got Jamison Williams later in the year, but won't have anything to do on Sunday. So, St. Brown, another guy who started to show improvement. And I think Jared Goff will do a lot better in his second year with the Lions system. Again, the Philadelphia Eagles, to me, whipped the Lions a year ago. But the main thing is the Lions will be improved. They ran a lot of their games last year is what they were. And as a result, they proved that they would go ahead and play hard for their coach. Your buddy Mark Mancini, they got a tie against them. But they played better as the year progressed. They really, really did. And I think that they'll show up tomorrow. They'll play hard. They sold standing room tickets is what they ended up doing. So it shows there's a lot of enthusiasm there. We'll just see if the play matches up to the enthusiasm that you have. I think that'll be a pretty good matchup. I think it'll be one of the better ones of the day for sure. I won't be watching it. I'll be covering the Marlins and the Mets tomorrow down in Miami. So I have a doubleheader this weekend here from the Kings, and I get the Marlins tomorrow on Patriots Day. Be an emotional day tomorrow.
Antonio Moultrie.
Good luck with that. So we have a very confident Mitch Trubisky leading the Pirates, at least what I read him talking about. He says he's happy and thinks he can lead the team, as does Mike Tomlin. I think it's going to be a closer game than they have the spread being, just because of good rivalry. The Cincinnati, of course, now they beefed up the offensive line. They certainly are going to be contenders. I think that's going to be a close one. It's in Cincinnati, but I think Pittsburgh's going to play well.
I do, too. I think Mitch Trubisky had a bad hand in Chicago. He really did. He got more stabilization with Pittsburgh. I think he'll have a much better than most think. I think it'd be the best thing that can happen to Pittsburgh Steelers if Mitch Trubisky plays well. Kenny Pickett gets maybe a year on the bench, maybe two, probably at least a year, to go ahead and learn from him. I think Mitch Trubisky got a wrong deal. I don't know exactly what's going to happen with the Cincinnati Bengals. Usually what ends up happening is a Super Bowl runner-up doesn't make the playoffs the next year. I know they improved their offensive line. Jamar Chase, of course, is a good wide receiver, but they can have tape on these guys. So as a result, when you do that, you end up making adjustments is what you end up doing. And that's what I think will happen. I think you're right. It'll be a close game. I'm not going out on a limb to predict this one. No, I don't know. Maybe it'll be a tie. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah. The contract negotiations between Lamar Jackson and the GM did not bear fruition. He is probably going to play, and with a chip on his shoulder, obviously he didn't get what he wanted. I don't know what his demands were. I would put him certainly in the higher echelon of quarterbacks, but he's not better than Josh Allen. I don't think he's better than Patrick Mahomes. So I don't know who his targets are this year aside from Mark Andrews, because they traded Hollywood Brown to the Cardinals. What do you think about that situation? Does he get the money that the best quarterback deserves, or I don't know.
Well, I mean, history has anything to do with itself right down the beltway. You know, Kirk Cousins played under the franchise tag for a couple of years in a row, and he did well with it. You would think that if he continues to play well, it's going to get more and more expensive by the year for the Ravens.
Right.
But the difference between Cousins and Jackson is, you know, Cousins is more of a drop-back passer. Jackson one hit away, and all of a sudden, you know, his career could be in jeopardy. Where on the other hand, Kirk Cousins isn't a sitting duck, and he isn't a moving target. So it can go both ways. Lamar Jackson right now, actually, to me, is represented by him and his mom. He doesn't have agent representation, and he's judging. I think the biggest thing that's difficult here, honestly, is the Deshaun Watson contract. And I say that because, first of all, why do you give a guy $230 million guaranteed that hasn't played even last year, you know, and he has a bad track record off the field versus a guy like Lamar Jackson, who's an outstanding citizen, is really what he is. And there's a lot of extenuating circumstances pertaining to that complicate the problem. Kyler Murray, to go in and got his, they had a four-hour homework clause in there until they removed that and got laughed at for it. Yet you have a guy worthy of it. He's a model citizen. He's playing well. So, you know, that's a very interesting situation. It really, really is. And as a result, you know, you we ran into that in Detroit a few years ago when Ndamukong Suh, you kept putting off the inevitable, extending him until the franchise tech got so unbearable, walked away and played here in Hard Rock Stadium with the Miami Dolphins and subsequently moved on a couple of places. So you got to lock these guys up when you can before it gets too expensive.
Third
I think that the Ravens are probably headed in that direction is what they really are. If they don't get him locked up soon, and he doesn't seem to be worried about it. He's a different bird. He showed up for training camp, OTAs, and all that stuff. So he doesn't care. He knows it's not a matter of if, but when he'll get his money. And I think that is just a great kid. He's betting on himself, and he has a great year. And my goodness, what is happening there? So, you know. I agree. I think he holds all the cards as long as he doesn't get hurt. I really do.
Indeed. Scrolling down, I think another interesting game to watch is going to be Green Bay and Minnesota, with Green Bay being a favorite. I have a feeling Minnesota takes that. I just like the weapons they have more. I mean, Rodgers, of course, is one of the top three quarterbacks in the league, but, you know, Devontae Adams gone, you're going to have a defensive key on the run. And I just like Justin Jefferson and all and Thielen and Dalvin Cook. I just see that offense actually handling Green Bay tomorrow. I think it's an upset.
We disagree on that one. I can tell you right now, I really do disagree. And here's the thing, okay? Aaron Rodgers is going to seize the opportunity to prove that he can actually go ahead and win without Devontae Adams. I really believe that. So, you know, that's what we've got to understand. So.
Third down and one.
He doesn't have Lazard. He's hurt. But the tight end's pretty good. And, of course, the running backs are good. I don't know that they can overcome that, but that's my opinion, of course. The other potential shootout, I guess, we have is Kansas City at Arizona. What's your opinion on that?
I'm sorry, what was your question?
Yeah, the KC-Arizona game. I guess KC's probably
Kansas
favorite
City.
Than that. It's in Arizona. It's up 3.5. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I still like Kansas City.
I mean, Kyler Murray sort of he was in a position to do what he did with him, but I still think that Mahomes is better. I like KC in that as well. Other interesting things. You got the Vegas as the Chargers and the Raiders. I kind of like the Raiders in that simply because there's going to be more Raider fans in the stadium than there are Charger fans.
Oh, I agree. But that's how it always works in Arizona anyways. You go to a warm weather climate, you know, and that's what happens.
And I found it to number 12.
You know, but what can you do? I mean, it's just one of those deals where you go to a warmer weather climate, you have a lot of transplants. I've seen it in Tampa. And, you know, I've seen it all over the place. So that's something you expect. So I guess you can say that the stadium is going to be half and half.
Down into Hurricane. From the 30-yard
So we also have the Charger Raider game. Just because I think you have a situation where I think the Raiders win that game, and I think it's basically because the fan base in LA is more geared to the Raiders, and you know it's not like there's a Charger nation that follows them around wherever they go. I like the Raiders in that.
Yeah, I do too. You know, the Raiders, I think, are going to do what they've got to do, and I think they'll have a much better year than most people think they will.
Number 21, Henry Parrish.
You certainly they're loaded.
The tackles.
Number they're definitely
nine,
loaded.
Short.
It looks like we got Mark Mancini coming back in. Mark, what's happening?
Yeah, I know. You've been basically, bringing it to a different level with all these picks and everything. And I know you're on a parlay, if I'm not mistaken.
I am, and that's Cleveland. I got Carolina and Baltimore, and there's another. Oh, and I got the Monday night game. I think Denver's going to kill the rather hapless Seattle Seahawks. When you announce Geno Smith as your starter, wow.
Yeah,
no way.
That's the thing. No, exactly. And we've lost Scott, and due to those conflicts at the stadium, I know I'm getting listeners chiming in and saying we can't really hear the show too good, but that's okay. We've got it. He's our correspondent, but sometimes it doesn't work at some of these stadiums. But we'll get them clarified and get him back in here next week. So we wish him luck. He's a big correspondent here with us, and we love him dearly, but unfortunately we can't hear him too good, and the listeners are now coming in and basically saying, let's talk about, you know, you guys have talked about the baseball races and the dude that called for Philly. I keep telling people, Bruce, that you got to watch out for the Padres here. You know, people, I don't want to say they're not educated and they don't have knowledge, but I think they're myopic to the sense where they just look at, well, this team's in first place. They're up by 19 games. Nobody's going to stop this team, you know, next month. And that's not the case. because you got to really understand what's going on around here. I think there's some teams that are jockeying for position, and then they're basically going to set the table in their favor to take these guys out. And what these listeners, and I don't want to disrespect anybody, but they think they're going to bring a 19-game lead into October, and it just doesn't happen. They scrape the board clean. Everybody starts from scratch. And it doesn't matter if the Dodgers have beaten the Padres 17 out of 20.
Yeah, I like the pitching in San Diego. I think they can be competitive. The Dodgers are right now looking quite imperious, much to my chagrin, of course. San Diego could go far. I know, and Atlanta's an interesting case as well. I mean, there's going to be some good matchups. I really, really like the wild card situation in the NL. I think it's going to be kind of fun. I don't see Philly going very far. Milwaukee might squeak in, but I don't see, again, Milwaukee going very far either. So I think it'll be between either San Diego and Atlanta or the Dodgers. I mean, San Diego and Atlanta facing the Dodgers. I can't really predict that San Diego-Atlanta series at this point.
Right. That's going to be, well, I'll tell you, you know, when the Dodgers are sitting there, you know, kind of hoping San Diego and Atlanta knock each other out, and whoever they get, they'll pick up the scraps. But I've said this before, the Dodgers just ain't built for October. I don't think they're built for the postseason. I think they're built for the regular season. When you look at that pitching, Bueller's gone. Kershaw, you can't count on. May's come back.
Gonsolin,
he doesn't really look good
hurt.
Unless he's – yeah, you don't know what he's going to get. And he looks like Cy Young against some of these bottom feeders. But Tony Gonsolin's hurt. I mean, the only consistent guy they got is Julio Urias there. And when you look at their bats, they got three, possibly a four guys there with Betts, Freeman, Trey Turner, and then you can probably add Will Smith. Everybody after that is a flip of the coin, whether they get hot one day or whether they don't. I don't really think this team is going anywhere. And the real guy that needs to take the fall here is Andrew Friedman, because he's the one that orchestrated and built this team. I don't care what Dave Roberts threw a guarantee in March that this team was going to win it, but if they lose again and get knocked out the second round or something, I don't know how you pick up the pieces and face the music and say, well, we won 110 games, you know, and all that. If you want to hang regular season flags, then be upfront and honest and tell me you want to hang regular season flags. But don't come out here and tell me that you're built to win a title when you haven't won a title playing a full season in four decades almost. Any thoughts?
Yeah, and, you know, that's kind of a dilemma for any team that wins that many games during the regular season. What do you do at the end of the season, especially like you said, Dave Roberts made these promises and stuff. What do you do when you don't win the World Series? Do you fire your general manager when he wins that many games? That's, you know, when you start making promises like that, you put everybody in the higher up position in a bad situation. If I'm a fan of the Dodgers, which I'll never be, I don't know what to do there. It's like, because you want to make the playoffs, you win a lot of games, you look real, real good, but if you keep not winning the World Series, Mark, what do you say? Do you fire a general manager for something
well,
like that?
I would think you'd have to show him the door. I really would, because you know what?
Wow.
This is the second biggest market. And, you know, we saw, you know, some teams get excited when they win divisions, but the Dodgers are proclaiming they're, you know, like the next best thing since sliced bread. And if they're proclaiming that, then I don't know. I mean, I think the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, Bruce, and hoping for different results. Well, these guys haven't got different results. They keep bringing in bats. They keep bringing in players, but they're not getting anywhere closer to a World Series title. And I don't need to hear 2020 guys. Now I'm getting ripped by guys coming in here telling me 2020. Come on, man. Come on. Really? Really? That you know, 2020 was 60 games, guys. Albert from Poway talking about it, and we got Matt coming in from Costa Mesa saying how many of the Giants Pirates won combined. We have a rich tradition in L.A. I don't care what rich tradition you got.
Yeah,
I don't care. But it's what have you done for me lately? Hey, Bruce, if you and I go to In-N-Out Burger and the burger's good and then they stop making good burgers and they cut back, we're not going back to In-N-Out. That's it, bottom line. So this is the thing with the Dodgers. They come in here, they tell me what they won in 2020. Come on, jokers. I mean, really, you're not good enough to win in the regular, the postseason. The regular season, you can run roughshod all over. I don't care. But you're going to get beat in the second round of the playoffs, whether it's Atlanta or San Diego, are going to come by, and they're going to punk you in your backyard. And if you do the history, guys, that are coming in here blasting this show right now, go look at how many times you've got pinned in your backyard. Now somebody's coming in talking about, well, the Astros and Red Sox cheated. Well, they beat you in your backyard. The Nationals beat you in your backyard. Okay? That'd be another question to ask. When was the last time you won a title in your backyard?
Indeed.
Bruce, take it away, man. I'm fired up.
Indeed, you are. And, you know, again, I'm saying when your manager predicts, you know, victory, the whole thing, you put everybody in a hard position. And like I say, I don't have an answer. You obviously do as far as firing a general manager when they get over 100 wins. That's usually unheard of. But, you know, you're put in a position and you do that kind of, and that happens, then you got to wonder. And you got guys like Cody Bellinger who are like hitting like, you know, almost Mendoza line and stuff like that. I mean, I'm still puzzled about that. I remember him as like superstar material 2 years ago. Yeah, he did have the game-winning hit against the Giants, but he hasn't been hitting all that well.
The thing is, Bruce, you got to change the culture. And if you don't change the culture, then year in and year out, you're going to spend some – you know, I've said this before. Andrew Friedman must have a lot of uncles and aunts or a lot of grandparents or somebody from – they've left them a lot of money. And when I look at Andrew Friedman – he keeps getting an inheritance every year to spend money to buy whatever the hell he wants until finally they said, you know what? You can't keep spending money because you're just pissing away the money. It's like pouring it down the toilet. Well, this is where you cut them off and say, you know what? We're going to do you a favor. We're going to fire your ass. And that's where they need to do with Andrew Friedman. He wasn't good in Tampa. He didn't win anything in Tampa. And the excuse in Tampa was, well, we can't beat the Yankees. We can't beat the Red Sox. We're competing with all these millionaires. Hey, the Pirates had no excuse when they were chasing the Cardinals, the Cubs, the Brewers, the Reds and everybody in their damn division. So don't give me an excuse. And then you go to the World Series and you get beat by the Phillies. So what is this guy talking about? You're not good as a GM. That's it. Bottom line. You know? And then somebody says, who's better? We got Dan coming in from Pensacola, Florida, saying, who's better? Well, Theo Epstein is. He turned around two organizations. I covered him in San Diego when he was a media relations guy. He turned around Boston and Chicago. He's a first-time ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, you're going to compare Andrew Friedman with Theo Epstein?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Right now, you've got some teams that have been turned around as well. And, I mean, Baltimore certainly, I think, has turned around. And Seattle seems to have turned around. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that they are going to surpass Andrew Friedman, per se, right away. But that's really what happens. There's a turnaround. Everybody expects, and I put quotation marks around that, the Dodgers to go super far or even win it all.
Okay, Bruce, who's the blame here? If you won eight division flags and the Giants stopped you last year and then you've been to three National League or four National League championships and World Series and all that, and you've got a 2020 asterisk to show for it, who's to blame if you fall on your ass this year? Somebody's going to take the fall. You can't fire the players. You know, who are you going to bring
in?
You're going to stand there and go get a marquee pitcher? And you're gonna tell me, oh, okay, well, now we're gonna win it this year. I mean, how many times are these – and I don't know, maybe these fans are creatures of habit where they just kind of go, oh, okay, you want me to do this? You want me to jump off the cliff and you're telling me there's a steak dinner and a lobster down below, but I can't look? Okay, I'll just get a running start and I'll just run off the cliff. Well, that's what the Dodgers are doing to the fans. They're basically saying, well, we're going to bring this guy in. We're going to get this. We're going to win a World Series. When? When are you winning a World Series?
Well, you know what my thoughts are on that.
Yeah.
I hope it's a while, after my lifetime. I like you're fired up, Mark. So, you're right. Right now at this point with all the money that's spent and the words at the beginning of the season, they can't come away with anything less than being world champions, period. That's that.
Right.
Any other
right.
baseball?
Well, that's the thing. And, you know, I think they're going to have to go to get pitching. Another case is the Angels, and that's another organization that's sitting there doing nothing with Ohtani, with Trout. They're going to have to unload somebody and get some pitching. You know, I talked to a guy not too long ago, and he told me pitching was like 40% of the game. And I said, sir, how long have you been watching baseball? He said, I've been watching it a long time, Mark. It's about 40% of the game. Oh, okay. I don't know which baseball you've been watching. No disrespect, but I'm 60 years old. I'll be 61 in November. It's 90% of the game, my friend. Okay?
Yeah.
Just like in football, just like in basketball, just like in hockey, you need defense. You need, you know, in baseball, you need the pitching. Pitching wins games.
Yeah. And the Angels ain't going to be doing that. And I would hate to. I mean, but I understand it. I guess you're going to have Trout. Trout's going to stay. He's loyal to the organization. You got him under a bad contract. I don't see that you can trade both those players. And Ohtani, again, it's a sad thing to have to do. He's obviously just MVP material every year. But you've got a limited amount of teams I think you can unload him to. I think he's got to be on the West Coast. Of course, you know, he's the guy who's going to dictate where he goes. It gets traded. I don't know if he has a no-trade clause or any kind of clauses in there that state where he should go. I think that any team would take him. The thing here right now is that for one, the Giants ain't going to get him because they don't have enough to trade for him unless you're getting rid of one of two pitchers, which you can't get rid of because then it'll be a really awful staff. Could you see him in Seattle?
I could see him in Seattle. That's a big Asian community. What's your take on that?
I think that that's the place he's going to go because San Diego has spent enough time trying to rebuild their situation that I don't see that they trade any of the little pieces that they've been putting together for one person. The Giants, I'm trying to think of any other West Coast teams. The Padres can't afford him, that's for sure. The Padres can't afford him. I think it's Seattle or he stays. You know, I don't know whether they want – because, you know, if he gets traded, the fans ain't going to like it. And I don't know what they have in their minor league, system as far as anybody coming up who's going to make them real, real good. This could be a long few years for the Angels as far as I'm concerned.
Let's talk about it because Pat coming in from looks like Utica, New York, basically saying, any thoughts on the National League and American League MVPs? My American League MVP, I think you got to give it to Ohtani to a certain extent. What Judge is doing is amazing, but I think you got to lean towards Ohtani with Judge. National League, I'm giving it to Paul Goldschmidt. This guy's saying
You took the words out of my mouth. It's Goldschmidt.
It's gotta be Goldschmidt because the problem is Betts is surrounded by all, you know, guys in LA. So you couldn't give it to Betts. Goldschmidt's been holding the fort there, you know, in St. Louis, and he's going for the triple crown. So That's simply amazing. Another guy chiming in with Pete Alonso. No, he's not going to get it. Alonso doesn't have it. And I think it's a two-headed race in the American League on Ohtani and Judge.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with both of those things. Boy, if you're an Arizona Diamondback fan, you've got to be just kicking here. We've got to be saying something about that. And I just remember when Goldschmidt got traded to the Cardinals, and being a Giants fan, I was like, thank God he's out of my division, because he would beat on us, and he does every time we play him. So yeah, I'm going to go Goldschmidt all the way on that.
And if you're looking, you know, at a Cy Young, somebody that's going to take this, I'm not giving it to Tony Gonsolin. I don't care if he's 16-1, 16-2, or whatever. I think you're going to really look at this one, and it's going to be interesting. Burns can win it again. You know, Alcantara for Miami.
Yeah. Yeah, I like
you know, I think in the American League, I'm giving it, and I know what Ohtani's done, but I'm giving it to Justin Verlander.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. Yeah, we were talking about Young in the National League. Yeah, I like Alcantara, but I don't think he's going to get it because of the team he plays on. You know, the only team time I think a lousy team had a Cy Young winner, and I'm not saying that it's always the guys who win the championship, was Carlton for those last place Phillies when he won 27 games.
Right.
And that was, 1972? Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing, manager of the year, I'm going with Hyde with Baltimore. Because Orioles have come out like gangbusters, and they have to probably go Buck Showalter in New York. I think Showalter, let's face it, the Mets, you know, they're in first place since April 11th. I mean, 5 days into the season pretty much or whatever. So I'd have to say you'd have to give it to Showalter there and Hyde with Baltimore. I don't know what your take is on this.
You're preaching to the converted here. I agree with you on both fronts. The thing about Showalter is like, do you think he's got a long-term future in New York with the Mets? Because he goes about 2 or 3 years and then he's gone. You know what I mean? Do you think that he's gonna change? That things are gonna change for Showalter? Does he have a new take on managing or whatever?
I think he wears out his welcome, but I still think he gets the job done. How about, what's your take on that?
He always has been like that. It's of course, all we can go do the usual wait and see on this. But I'm skeptical. He's done this long enough. But he's got a winner. He's going to get to the playoffs. He might do well again next year, but some point within the next 3 years or something, I could see the Mets going the other direction, especially if other teams improve themselves.
Yeah. Now, okay. And, switching gears now, what's your next topic you want to dive into? What about 17 minutes left on the show?
Okay. We could double back to football. I heard it. I don't know if you know about this. Somebody told me that Tannehill got injured and that Malik Willis was going to be starting for the Titans. What do you know about that?
That's an interesting one, and they open up with the Giants. Go figure on that one. I mean, that should be an interesting one to say the least. Wouldn't you expect? I don't know. That whole AFC is going to be a dogfight, and the Titans. That was a big loss with that guy that with the tore his ACL. So it's going to be interesting what Tennessee's going to do. They lost Julio Jones too.
Well, yeah, I think Jones was beyond his prime, actually. And, yeah, that was Harold Landry III who tore his ACL. I like Vrabel. I kind of question trading A.J. Brown, just like you said, without Julio Jones. So, and Tannehill, I consider a pretty good quarterback. but he's shaky at some of the wrong times. I don't see the Giants as being a gigantic test, but that's going to be a weird year for them. I like Vrabel, but I don't see them doing it this year. And they're in a weak division. I kind of like Indianapolis in a way because they're loaded on offense. This is one where you put Ryan in a pretty good situation, and he isn't the worst quarterback on earth. I think they take that one. You?
No, I do too. I simply agree with you on that one.
Yeah, there's too many weapons there. Too many weapons. And your Steelers, like we were talking earlier when Scott was on, I think they're going to cover on Cincinnati. I think they might make this a tight game. I don't know what happened with Chase Claypool. Did he just fall off, or was he injured? Do you know more about the Steelers than I do?
Well, I think he kind of fell off a little. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, but the Steelers, let me tell you about the Steeler defense. What's going to be interesting, that defense is going to keep them in a lot of games. They can restore that offensive line and protect the quarterbacks and Trubisky and Pickett, they could do something, but they're going to surprise some people with that defense.
Yeah, well, I'm never surprised by a Pittsburgh defense. They're usually good. They always have been, and they always have key players. You've got, of course, Watt, and then Minka Fitzpatrick. And there's probably more that I'm not familiar with, but I always figure a Pittsburgh defense will be good. People will not run roughshod over them, unless, of course, the offense gives up touchdowns to the other team's defense. But I don't even see Trubisky doing that. I think they're going to be better than people think they are.
No doubt.
And Najee Harris is solid.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
No, you're exactly right. And we'll find out what the 49ers are going to look like. They'll open up the season in Chicago before they come back home and play Seattle. I know next week you'll be in Dallas getting ready for the Bengals and the boys.
Yes, indeed. A friend of mine has decided oh so generously to take me down there, and it will be, how shall we say, the pinnacle of my sports viewing, because I will be a couple booths down from Jerry Jones, who I'm sure won't say hi to me because I'm not a big Cowboy fan. I could be another Stephen A. Smith if I wanted to, but I won't do it. They're looking very forward to the experience. And with the Niners, so they've got they're injured. So I'm not saying anytime is great for anybody to have injuries, but you know, they're saying, oh, Kittle's questionable. You don't play Kittle against the Bears. Come on, this is a weak team. McGlinchey, one of the offensive tackles, is also hurt, but yes, he's questionable, but he could play. Don't play these guys. Please don't play these guys. This is this is the Bears. The Bears have nothing on offense. I mean, maybe Justin Fields is better than I think he is, but even if he is, who do you got? Nothing. That's going to be one of those. The Bears, to me, and this has been going on for quite some time, is the fact that their offense has been so consistently boring for so long and does nothing to excite, aside, you know, even in the losing cause. Their fan base has got to be getting sick of it. What do you think?
Well, I can't see it any better than what you just did. Yeah, I think the fan base is getting sick of it, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but yeah, they're gonna lose this game. I don't know whether it's gonna be. Well, they have 6.5, 7 points now. I would say, yeah, they're gonna lose by 7. The 49ers have a couple of injuries, and then of course you've got a quarterback who is a starter for his first full year. We'll see what happens there. But the Niners will win that, and don't play your players that are like dinged versus, you know, ripped ACLs or whatever. I mean, just keep this is a game where you just keep your guys healthy. You don't need to play anybody against Chicago. This is truly going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. Even Detroit's going to finish ahead of them. This is not the Lions can now congratulate themselves on not being in last place, and I think the Lions are going to be an improved team. Possible 6-11 or 7-10. And that, what do you think of Jalen Hurts? Do you think I'm not completely sold on him in Philly? What about, what do you think about that?
I like him. I think he learned a lot at Alabama and Oklahoma. I think he's finding his own. He's got some targets here. I think the Eagles are going to surprise some people.
Could be, and I think he's a very intelligent guy. But he had to run a lot, and we'll see. We'll see. It's a very interesting case there. I'm rooting for him just because I think he's a likable guy. And then we have the Vegas Chargers thing, Green Bay, Minnesota, Tampa, Dallas. There's another one. Well, you've got controversy with the Brady situation. I don't think it affects his game. Dallas is one of those teams. It's like, I see a lot of points in there, but I see Dallas losing. And I'm not a McCarthy fan.
Well, I think Tampa, trying to figure out that situation with Brady right now. He's going through a tough time with his wife, Giselle, and, he unretired. See, the problem here is if you're going to tell somebody something and you go back on it, then the trust factor loses its luster a little. So if they can work that out, I thought he should have been up front and told her, hey, listen, I'm going to go one more year here, and then I'll hang it up. I'll work in the TV booth or whatever. But to come back and play football, now she's relegated to Mr. Mom again. And it's going to be interesting. But I like Tampa. I think Tampa's got the weapons. They got another wide receiver in there, Julio Jones there. I think Tampa goes into Dallas and sends them a message. Tampa reminds me of Buffalo and the Raiders. These teams are on a mission to get to the Super Bowl.
Brady put himself in that position, and I think he has to play. Whether there's no unretiring and then retiring after you retired and unretired. So he's got to play. I think they win the division. I don't know. They're just a vibe with me this year that they might not be as good as they're cracked up to be. Godwin's injured, I think, but he's only going to be out for a couple of games. Yeah, they are loaded. They are loaded on offense, and they got good defensive players, Lavonte David, et cetera, et cetera. They take that game. They take that game going away. Not going away, excuse me. The thing about Dallas is always good offense, but they just can't seem to overcome certain teams. They will probably win the division, and they will probably get bounced in the first round. So, it'll be interesting, and I'm looking forward to my venturing into their house because I've never been there, and I hear it's a beautiful stadium. And
when you look at your 49ers, I don't know who's winning this division. I mean, the Rams stumbled a little bit. I think it's wide open. If the Rams, can't get back to what they look like, man, they just got destroyed Thursday, but people are looking at it as one game. You get the Falcons coming in here a week from tomorrow, but if the Rams slip in this division, man, any one of these other teams can step up. I'm not putting Seattle in that, but Arizona and San Francisco might have something to say.
I would go with SF over Arizona on this because the defense is good. The defense is great. If Trey Lance works out, or even if he doesn't, and Jimmy Garoppolo is able to step in, and he's solid enough to get you somewhere, I would take the Niners over Arizona, and that's that. I'm not sold on the Rams. Although, like I say, last week with the addition of Von Miller, that running game got stuffed. You got to think that running game has got to be better than it is. I don't see that they've got a super back in that. I don't. And with it going against a team like the Niners, you might have some problems. I'm not going to give the Rams that division at all. I'm looking at other things. You've got all the big shootout games are going to be in the AFC West with all these quarterbacks. Like I said earlier to Scott, I think the Raiders probably will take that game against the Chargers, because there's going to be more Raider fans in the stands. I think you probably agree with me on that, don't you, Mark?
No, I definitely agree with you on that one. That one I definitely couldn't have said it any better. Hey, we're down to about 5 minutes left in the show. Do you want to throw another topic out to wrap this thing up?
Okay. So the a little bit of braggadocio from one Patrick Beverly. I'm going to the Lakers. He was mentioned the Timberwolves made the playoffs last year. The Lakers did it, but they didn't have me. So as to me, that's kind of a challenge to the Lakers to play better, and they think that they're going to make the playoffs with Beverly. They might. He's a good player. What do you think about that addition?
Well, Beverly's he's always been high octane. I like him. I think he gets under the skin of the opposing players. I'm surprised the Warriors didn't go after a guy like that, but then you got Draymond Green. You can only have one of those guys on a team, I guess.
Yeah, and the thing here is I guess the Warriors' loss would have been Payton. And I'm not blaming Payton for taking that contract. I know there's a few fans here who say, oh, man, he's deserting us, blah, blah, blah. People forget. He played a long time in G Leagues and other places. He was 29 years old. If they give him a three-year contract for $1 million a year or more, I'm not going to knock him for that. Where they're going to get what the Warriors are going to do, I guess, is see if they bring up the youngsters who can to defend. You're going to have more. You're going to see more of Kuminga and those people. I don't object to them standing pat necessarily.
Yeah, you didn't need the guy in Kevin Durant. I mean, this guy, he doesn't burn bridges. He blows them up wherever he goes. And that would have been something to bring him back to Oakland. I would have nixed that thing in a heartbeat. Let Brooklyn stick with that. They signed him. They wanted to give him everything. I'm not helping them unload him and giving up all my young talent for that jackass any day of the week.
Yeah, that's another one of those soap opera situations. And I guess he and Kyrie get to play one more year there. I feel sorry for Nash to have to take that BS. He doesn't deserve it. They'll probably make the playoffs. I just don't see there's chemistry. If I was a fan, I don't know that I'd even want to pay to see them with all that bad attitude. You know, I don't see it happening.
Yeah. No, I don't either. That's going to be the interesting one. So as you head to Texas next week, I know you're going to be part of the show. Boy, that's going to be a hell of a game. Defending AFC champs coming to Dallas. Boy, the Cowboys run out of the chute, get Tampa, and then they get Cincinnati. It's unbelievable. I haven't been in that new stadium. I was in the old Texas Stadium in Irving with the roof open. But that is going to be interesting, to say the least. Boy, you're going to have fun there, my friend.
I hope so. I'm looking forward to it. Again, this will be the pinnacle of my sports viewing career. I have been to an AFC championship, but I was in nosebleed seats. This ain't going to be that. So I'm stoked. I'm excited, and go Bengals.
I guess you're not a big fan of the Cowboys being a 49er guy.
I mean, this goes back a long way. It took me 30 years to admit that Roger Staubach was good. That's how much I dislike them. Of course he was, but even in the 70s, the Niners always lost to the Cowboys, and the Cowboys would go to the bowl. And there was that one game where they had a 18-point lead going into the fourth quarter and lost. So the Cowboys and America's team, God watches them from the hole in the roof. There's been a little bit too much mouthing off. I'll never be a Cowboy fan.
Well, I'll tell you, when I was looking at the Rangers' schedule, it was bizarre to say the least. They're home with Toronto, but then they go to two with Miami, come back and play Oakland for two. While you're in Dallas, they're in Tampa, and if you stuck around a little longer, the Angels, Cleveland, and Seattle would come in. But if you push this thing a little longer to the end of the year, the Yankees come in and close the season for four in Texas. So, wow, that's an interesting schedule, to say the least.
Yeah, I feel sorry for the Rangers. I don't, but those free agent signings have boomeranged on them, the Semien and Corey Seegers. Anyway, it looks like we're coming to the end
of
the show.
We're out of time, my friend. As we wind this thing down, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you.
Okay, I'm at holyroller91978@gmail.com, or I can be found on Facebook, and I hope to expand that.
Yeah.
You, Mark?
Spent 5 days cleaning up all my social media platforms, so I know exactly what you're talking about on that. And for Bruce Kessinger out there in Oakland, California, yours truly, Mark Mancini, kind of filling in for Scott Morgenroth as he's in the press box watching the Miami Hurricanes play right now. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. Have a blessed one, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week. And we'll have Bruce as he's going to be boarding a flight to Dallas. Till then, talk to you soon.